I was participating in a Mass this week with Father Carl Lopresti, and before Mass started, he told me he was back recently from Poland, where he bumped into a Holy Cross priest who knew me and I knew him. His name is Father Ed O'Connor, and Carl said he was such a gentle, holy, spiritual man. They had all these long conversations in Poland and at the various shrines, and he said one good thing about this guy after another, how patient he was with the people and how insightful he was and how kind he was. Well, all of that's true. Father is in his mid-80s. He's an apostle to the poor in South Bend, Mishawaka. He's constantly doing hands-on ministry. He helps out in every parish in what they call Michiana, northern Indiana and southern Michigan. He's endlessly generous about hearing confession, about giving spiritual direction. He's at every religious event that exists. But I remember him back in the 1960s when he was prefect of studies at Morrow Seminary. And I have to say, by any standard, he was a Turk. He had a keen insight into the classes you did not want to take, and that's what he loaded you up with. For any change, you had to go into his office kind of trembling, and he'd glare up over his desk, and you always felt you were like in the presence of a hanging judge. A little later, he was removed as prefect, and a slightly less ferocious priest went in. But he continued as a full professor of theology. And I think in second theology, I had him for ecclesiology. And I think you probably remember graduate students, pretty much a C is almost a flunking grade in graduate studies. Well, he not only passed out C's, he flunked students. He flunked seminarians. His reading list was longer than all the other courses put together that year, maybe in 2 years. We had to study everything. The conciliar documents going back to Nicaea, all the foundational works on the church. He even had us read all the theologians he hated. I think we read Hans Küng's The Church and his book on infallibility precisely so we could refute them. And his paper load was unbelievable. We wrote and wrote and wrote, but the worst of all was the final oral exam. People were shaken. We had study groups. We'd ask each other the most obnoxious questions we could think of. And this is not an exaggeration. I know at least two of my classmates who had to run in the bathroom and throw up before they went into his presence to be judged. I don't remember what questions he asked me, but I do remember him at one point glaring over his desk and saying, "Mr. Jenke, never be glib with Scripture." I thought final vows and ordination had just gone out the window. I say that because there is not a person among this cathedral full of educators who didn't go through some demanding courses, who wasn't tested and stretched in school, who didn't have to stand up and give the right answer when called upon to do so, and didn't put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in earning that degree which allows you to be teachers. A rather similar moment is going on in today's reading from the Holy Gospel. All sorts of people were trying to figure out who Jesus was and what he was all about. And nearly all of them gave the wrong answer. Peter, guided by the Father, gave the right answer, that Jesus was truly the Messiah, the Lord, the revelation of God. But he didn't give the whole answer. Immediately, Jesus challenges Peter, his disciples, all of those who came to him and heard him, and all of us, the challenging, fuller revelation that his cross was absolutely essential for our salvation, and that all of us who follow him must have some share in that life-giving cross. Think about it. Is there anything that really matters in this world? Is there anyone we love? Is there any idea we care about? Is there any program that we believe is important that doesn't involve some dying to self, some letting go of things that we thought were important so that God could put something new there, so that God could bend us and change us, especially in those areas that we don't want to change? How many of us, clearly your bishop, needs to continue to crucify certain things that I love, that needs to start all over again the way God wants, not the way I want, to be ready to prefer God's people, God's children, our friends and colleagues, to our own satisfaction? The cross of Christ is the only way to the glory of Christ. The way of the cross is a path of glory. At every Mass where we assemble together, we are beneath the cross. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, truly the Lord's one perfect, endlessly self-giving sacrifice is made present in our midst. It should break our hearts. It should make us compassionate, kind, generous people all over again. We should be fed and nourished by the endless love we know in Jesus Christ. He preferred nothing to us, and we are called to prefer nothing to him. And the great gift in all of that is what we thought was so important, what we so jealously and sometimes with unchristian violence protected and defended, what we believed was our story, becomes something new and wonderful and awesome and incredibly consoling, better than what we had held on to, because it was the truth of God who is love. So let us at this Mass be changed. Just as bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ truly and substantially, let us be changed to actually participate in the Lord's life, his death, and his wondrous resurrection.